Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Tax deductions, KFC, and Benoit balls. All this and more on today's How Did This Get Made? Last looks. Hit the theme.
How did this get made? It wasn't sweet like lemonade. I'd rather lay on a hand grenade than watch it again.
Last look, look last, last look.
How did this get made? It wasn't fun like a gay parade. I'd rather dig my own.
What's up, pigeons? I'm your teen poker prodigy, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks, where you, the listener, get to voice your issues on Beautiful Disaster. Plus, later in the show, Jason and I chat about all the TV, movies, and music that we are currently loving. I'll also share an exclusive deleted scene from our Beautiful Disaster show, and as always, I'll reveal next week's movie. But first things first, a big shout out to War Widow for that great opening theme song. We love these songs. And if you have a Last Looks theme song, send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com, but keep them short. 15 to 20 seconds is best. Now, there's a lot of things to talk about. First of all, thank you to everyone who has pre-ordered my book. I so appreciate that. If you've pre-ordered my book, you can go to my website and sign up to get a personalized postcard from me. It just means the world. Thank you so much. This book is written with How Did This Get Made? Really behind me on this one. So I really appreciate it. Also, we are going to be in Europe. We've just opened up more tickets for Glasgow. We were sold out, but then they found more seats. I don't know how that's possible, but they found more seats. There's a handful of seats left for London and a bunch of seats left for Belfast. Go to hdtgm.com to get your tickets for that. Now, let's get into it. Last week, we talked at length about Beautiful Disaster, a movie that Discord user Annie DeVito thinks should have had the tagline, Beautiful Disaster, more red flags than the running of the bulls. Ooh, I like that, Annie. All right, well, we had questions about Beautiful Disaster, and we might have even missed a few things. Here's your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and omissions.
Now it's time for the weekly tradition where Paul gets all of your corrections and omissions. I hope this isn't too much of an opposition. So if there's no opposition, let's start with the competition. And now Paul's gonna read your submissions of corrections and omissions now.
Thank you, Rob from Long Island, for that great new theme song. cranking them out always. They're so good. Let's go to the Discord. The Discord is always at discord.gg/hdtgm. I love that community. What's up, GT75? Well, GT75 says the tuition scene did not make any sense. The bursar says they don't accept cash tuition payments because of the tax implications. What tax implications? She's not paying a nanny under the table. She's paying for a school, and the college can still report cash to the IRS. Saying that their office is not set up to handle that amount of cash would have made far more sense. You're right. I didn't even think about that. This movie is dumb. I love when a movie is that dumb. Like, you know that they just need a conflict and they're like, yeah. They don't take it. They don't take it. Oh, we can't break 100. We can't break 20,000. CatLady818 writes, at the show, you talked about how the movie was comedic. It made it more watchable. But I found an interview with Sprouse and Gardner that suggested we could have had a very different movie. They apparently did multiple takes of every scene, starting out very seriously and then getting more and more campy every time. So neither of them knew what kind of movie they were going to end up with. Really? Really? Oh, I love that. I love that they shot multiple. Let's see the serious cut. Let us see the serious cut. Snyder cut, serious cut. Cat, another cat. I took a screenshot of one of Travis's post-flight Instagram shots where I noticed some strange replies in the comments. Okay, got it. I'm glad someone's bringing this up because I saw this as well. One person writes, "Hello, Joyce," for some reason. But the most random comment is a person who asks Travis if he wants to star in a period piece short film set during the Spanish Inquisition that's shot on Super 16mm and rehearsals start tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Production designers, prop makers, and they, by the way, this screenshot is up on the Discord. You can take a look at it. It's amazing. They are the funniest. They're the best. They don't expect anyone to do this. Or maybe they do, and they want this. Anyway, let's go to the phones, see what's going on. All right, this is from Anonymous.
Hi, Paul. I just finished listening to the Beautiful Disaster episode, and I can't believe I'm going to admit this. I read the book, and I still have it on my Kindle. So I looked it up, and to answer the question you, Jason, and June had of is Abby a virgin, in the book that is addressed, and yes, she is. So hope that helps. I'm still traumatized by that book to this day, but it was a great episode. Okay, bye.
Don't be ashamed that you read this book. So many people have read this book, and yes, thank you for answering the question that we all knew in our hearts is true. Abby was a virgin. All right, Dr. Sarah from New Haven, what do you got?
Hi, Paul. This is Dr. Sarah. I was at the New Haven show, and something you guys missed about the Beautiful Disaster movie was the fact that when Abby went to Travis's family's house, there was only one bucket of KFC for all those grown men, and they got a double of corn for the sides. Where were the mashed potatoes? And where were the biscuits, Paul? Where were the biscuits? Anyways, I just wanted to thank you all for coming to Connecticut. As you can imagine, being a doctor and professor at this time has gotten really, really hard. And you, June, and Jason bring joy and laughter into my life every single day. So blessings to all of you. Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Sarah, first of all, for being a doctor. And the fact that I don't think ever had a doctor identify themselves as a doctor on the show. So I already feel like this is already going to be a great comment. You're right. Where were those biscuits? Maybe they ate the biscuits first. I don't know. You're right. There should have been more, but maybe they are health conscious. That is truly one of my favorite things to watch in all film, just the way that food is displayed or not displayed. You know, you watch Anyone But You, there's so much food out for like four people, like, and they're putting it out. It's not like they have, you know, like staff. I'm amazed. Every countertop has food on it. Then you watch something like Two and a Half Men. My friend Gil Azari did a thing where he watched every Two and a Half Men. They eat pizza with a fork and knife. It will always catch my eye no matter what I'm watching, actually when it's bad. All right. And another anonymous call from Dallas.
Hey, Paul, calling from a Dallas hotel room with food poisoning. I just wanted to point out that the casino scene in Beautiful Disaster, all the way up to the $5,000 buy-in, seemed to be a shot-for-shot remake of the train poker scene in The Sting. A little crossover podcast appeal.
Ooh, feel better, first of all, from the food poisoning. I appreciate you had enough energy to call in. And yes, unspooled crossover. I love that. I think you actually are right. I hadn't seen The Sting in such a long time. And then when I saw it, I was like, wow, this movie reminds me of Beautiful Disaster.
All right, let's go back to the Discord. Corgi Herder writes, this is a kind of continuation of the poker scene observation. Beautiful Disaster commits the same poker sins that so many other movies do. A poker prodigy is shown getting increasingly rarer hands and winning. When you get those, you can't just will a great hand to appear through skill alone. You can see this even in movies like Casino Royale, where James Bond outplays his opponents by getting ridiculous hands rather than making marginal gains with intelligent, well-timed bets. Well, yeah, I mean, look, what can you do? I mean, card playing is not the most interesting thing to watch. You gotta keep it good for the dumb people like me. In response to us talking about the Fight Club matches happening near the performance of Titus Andronicus, Sean McBee writes, I interpreted it as Titus Andronicus was being used as the fake cover for a Fight Club. All right. Okay, so then Sean goes on and says, it introduces a whole different set of logic issues, but being a How Did This Get Made movie, that's to be expected, so I guess we'll never know for sure. I think that if they have like a secret thing with like the stage crew, like the stage crew is like, hey, we need money for great sets, like Titus Andronicus, so why don't we just, you know, we'll make that money back by running a Fight Club. I like a stage crew movie. Ryan says, 1213 writes, as a librarian of 10 years, 20 years in library work, and as an alumni of CSU Sacramento, I can attest that the library ramen slurping was something I witnessed in that library. Wait, in that library? Really? In Budapest? If ramen slurping was the only issue in the public library I worked at, that would have been considered a good day. It was mostly empty bottles of Jack Daniels and used condoms. Ooh, or literal shit on the floor in my library. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Ryan says. It really does say something that the prison library I run is better maintained than the public library. Ryan, you just dropped a fuck ton of bombs on me in that one. I'm flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted, but I will say this. If you're a librarian out there, please pre-order my book. Make sure my book comes to your library. It counts as book sales. And I will also say, I think it will help people in prison. So, Ryan, get my book in prison. And also, I'm so sorry you had to clean up condoms in a library. I guess, man, John Grisham gets people hard. Anyway, so many great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one that is the best. And this week, the best is, and it's a tricky one. It really, really is a tricky one. But I love anyone who stops and freeze frames a scene. And Kat, you did that to find out about the 16mm production of the Spanish Inquisition. So you are a winner, and you don't get anything, but you do get this amazing song from Hill Baker. Hit it! Thank you, Hill Baker, for that song. Remember, if you want to submit an alt movie tagline or chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit us up on the Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. Coming up, Jason joins me to talk about all things that we are watching, TV, film, music, whatever. We're loving stuff. We're going to tell you about it. Plus, we'll play an exclusive deleted scene from our Beautiful Disaster show, and I'll reveal next week's movie. We'll be right back. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family, we had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey everybody, just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. Welcome back. By now, I'm sure you've noticed that every Monday we re-release old How Did This Get Made episodes back into our feed. This week's Matinee Monday was Gymkhana with Michael Showalter, and next week's will be Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 with Doug Benson. So keep on checking out these replays of classic episodes every Monday. All right, it's time to talk to my buddy Jason. Let's welcome him in with a new banger from our guy, Rob from Long Island. Rob, play us in.
Time of the show, it's the time of the show. Which time is that? It's the time when Jason joins Paul and they J-U-S-T-C-H-A-T. Just chat.
Welcome to Just Chat, Jason. This is the beautiful disaster last looks.
I don't know. I don't remember what that is.
Now,
that's a while ago.
Yes, that was a while ago.
To my credit, this is a little while ago from when we recorded this. What was beautiful? Disaster?
Now, I do remember it because it was my favorite movie from the tour. I think we did it in Connecticut, in New Haven, and it was about the young girl who his dad is a gambler. Who goes to college?
College.
And falls in love with
it's
the,
a college yes. story. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Falls in love
I
with
remember
the
now.
Fighter.
Yes.
Yes.
Street. Oh, yes. So, yes. Fight yeah. Club. College Fight Club. Yes. 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 Now I know. what a perfectly cryptic, bland title.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that movie really is. And it's actually the one that I think about the most because it is the one that's so bizarre. And I feel like so many people who watch the show, especially women who have watched the show, have been like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you covered this because I was tricked into watching it. Like, I feel like it was advertised
funny.
The wrong way. Like, you know, like, hey, if you like this, you'll like this. And the cover looks like you would like it.
Yes. Yeah.
It is not one of those things.
I will say, if you know more movies like this, suggest them because this was a wild ride. Because
oh, yes.
Now I'm remembering it as being like, oh, I think this is going to be college romance story, but then it's very quickly Fight Club and all this other violence. And I remember just being like, what tone is this movie? And that's if people know more movies like this, let us know because I want to watch more movies like this.
I'm all in for movies like this. Oh my gosh, they're so much fun. What has been going on with you? Have you been watching stuff? Have you been listening to stuff?
Yeah, I've got a list of fun stuff, some
and by
TV
the way,
stuff to run down. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to tell people, if you really want to get Jason giving you everything you need to watch, you got to listen to TV I Say with Ashley Ray because you guys did some giant must watches there. And that was fun.
We did. Yeah. Just recently, I've been on both Ashley Ray's fantastic podcast, TV I Say, and our friends Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald's The Watch. On both shows, I talk exclusively about stuff that I've watched during the year and especially we talked about stuff that was like underrated. Like we're not talking about The Bear and Succession and all the shows that get all the hype. We're talking about a lot of the smaller shows, the shows that don't get the love or the shows that I love but just aren't being acknowledged in the same way or hyped the same way. It's so easy for stuff to get lost in the shuffle. And so I've got a bunch of stuff on my list that kind of fit into that category.
Okay, perfect.
I'll shout out a couple of things just to get them out of the way first, just because they are more bigger and more popular things. Based on when this comes out, I don't know. I'm either loving or have just loved this new season of True Detective. I'm having a blast with True Detective. I think it's really fun. One of the shows that I'm absolutely really obsessed with is Monsieur Spade, the Frank, Tom Fontana, Sam Spade as an older, you know, he's living in the south of France, and a mystery, of course, starts happening around him that he has to get involved with. And it's both beautiful and fantastic. Clive Owen as an older Sam Spade, great. I've got a couple of, I don't know what it is, but am I in on all like British rom-com, sitcoms, you know, funny, just slice of life stuff. There's a couple that I've just watched that are so good. Dead Pixels, the John Brown show Dead Pixels, I think is absolutely hilarious and so funny and also like heartbreaking at times, which I thought was great. The Dolly Alderton show, Everything I Know About Love, is absolutely fantastic. It is like a coming-of-age story for like a group of young women in their early 20s, like post-college, moving to London, rather, to make a go of it. And it's like their lives as they unfold in those first kind of blush of adulthood.
And that's a great book, too. I read that book.
It's based on Dolly Alderton's book. The woman that wrote the book wrote the series, and it's great.
And she's really great. I read her because she's actually produced by my publisher as well. So looking through what they were having other books they had. And it was
great. I haven't gotten it, but I believe she has a new book that's either now out or is coming out soon. Something like that, I noticed.
Great.
I thought that show was fantastic. The other show that I'm watching is called Such Brave Girls, another kind of hilarious and then brutal sick British half hour that's just dynamite. Really fantastic.
I love this. I mean, but you know, you still aren't watching the number one British show that you should be watching, Traitors.
I know. Traitors. I think I'm going to start it because I really now the conversation... Every time we're backstage for a show, I feel like you and everybody else are talking about it. I now am officially like, I feel like I'm missing out. So I definitely got to start.
It's a perfect show for you. I think that like what you should do, I'll probably say what I've said to you privately here. I think you could start with season 2 of the UK. And I think you could start with season 2 of Australia. They're both available on Peacock. And season 2 of the US, because they're completely organic seasons. Like they all work the same way. I think that they figured some stuff out. I love the first season of the UK, but I'm also like, and this is where I'm kind of conflicted, and maybe you could have an opinion about this. Like, I know that season 2 of the UK is better than season 1. Do I tell you watch season 1 so then you can eventually watch season 2? Or because it's a reality show, like, do I want to hook you on season 2 and say watch season 2 and you'll go back and maybe you'll be more open to a season 1? I don't know.
Well, I that's how I feel. I'm with you. Like, whenever I recommend Alone to people, I don't tell people to start from the beginning, because I think the first two seasons, while good, are not nearly as transfixing as season 3. And so I always say, like, start with season 3, because I think you're going to get hooked, and then get around to 1 and 2 whenever you want. But like after 3, I feel like is when the show really becomes the show. You know, 4 and 5 are a little wonky because it's the team season. It's the all-star season. But like once we start getting into season 6, 7, 8, now we're really cooking. And I feel like I try and steer people towards seasons I know, especially if they're not related. Like, it sounds like Traitors is each season to season unrelated. You know what I mean?
Yes. There's like one thing that they do in season 2 of the American version where they bring back a character. And I'm like, I don't even know why they brought back this. Like, I don't know what the whole deal is, but it didn't make a difference. It's like, oh, she's another reality star. They brought her back. Whatever. I'm in. There's nothing that requires any knowledge. But I will say, my friend, Alex Kavitsky, director, really nice guy, he's got me into like a lot of Survivor stuff. And Survivor, the new season started, and I'm already on board. But Alex was the one who kind of, I recommended it to him. I was like, if you really want to watch, like, I think the best season of Traitors, you need to watch season 2 of Australia. And he was texting me over the weekend.
Wow.
And like, oh my God, that is truly, I mean, three people have watched it. Alex, our friend Lisa Gilroy, and June and I. So like, it's only 3 people can explore, you know, really express the insanity of that.
That's incredible. I love that.
I gotta start it.
I'll throw out a couple of others. Our friend Zach Woods and Brandon Gardner, his writing partner, and Mike Judge have a new stop motion animation show called In the Know that I think is funny and very clever. A kind of a satire of an NPR station and all of the NPR kind of personas that I love so much. And as like a lifelong NPR listener, it's very fun to watch them kind of make fun of it. I've enjoyed that. I'm rewatching Andy Daly's absolutely tremendous show Review.
It's
so good. And I had now gone long enough where I'd forgotten a lot of the elements and episodic storylines, and it's so satisfying and so wall-to-wall funny. I can't recommend it enough, especially, of course, as everyone knows, season 1, episode 4, Pancakes, Divorce, Pancakes. Truly, I think, one of the best TV episodes of the last 20 years. Just incredible stuff. And then I was just going to say, as we are going into the next election and all of this crazy election cycle nonsense is starting to get louder, and the din of all this craziness is starting to feel once again so depressing and dystopian, I am watching The Kings, who made The Good Fight and The Good Wife, did a season of a show called Brain Dead that
is so fantastic.
It's Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Tony Shalhoub and a ton of other fantastic people coming in and out. It's this great show that I feel like is all about the political nonsense that we find ourselves in and how everybody appears to be calcifying into like absolutely bananas points of view and then just caring about fighting. And that's what the show is. The show is, you know, not to put too fine a point on it and let you know what it is. It's about bugs who come from outer space, invade people's brains and make everybody crazy. And it's set during our political upheaval of like the 2016 election. The show is phenomenal. Can't speak highly enough of it. It's a blast. It's so fun, so funny, so sharp, such a great political satire, and just an absolutely a fun fucking show to watch.
I like those too. And you know, you've met Elsbeth, right?
Yes. Oh, Elsbeth Tassioni? Absolutely.
Yes.
One of my absolute favorites. You know, that show is starting in a matter of weeks.
Well, I got to do the episode where Elsbeth comes back to The Good Fight. So I got to do scenes with her, and I was so fucking psyched. And she's a great actress and really great. She's a fantastic actress.
She's great in The Holdovers.
Yes.
Fantastic in The Holdovers. But boy, Elsbeth Tassioni is absolutely one of my favorite characters just of in the Good Wife lore.
Yes.
She comes back like a couple of times a season and is so funny. And you can tell that they love that character and that actor so much because every central character in The Good Wife, gets to have full episodes with Elsbeth Tassioni.
Yes.
So it's like, here she is with Alicia Florek. Here she is with Josh Charles's character. Here she is, you know, she gets to be a part of everybody's stories because they were just like, what's another good pairing? You can tell. What's another good pairing for Elsbeth to be with? Because it's so fun to have her energy.
She's great. She's really, really great. And it was so funny because when we did our scenes together, she hadn't done the show in years.
Funny. Oh, that's interesting.
Like,
yeah.
She was like, oh, I got it. And it was so funny because the day I shot my episode or that week, it was the week that The Good Fight was announced that it wasn't coming back. It was the week that Christy Bransky like turned 60, I believe, had like a big giant public birthday. It was the night of the Met Gala. So that she was at that. And then Elsbeth, Carrie Preston, was back on the show and she was like, oh, I haven't done this character in years. I have to remember like how to do this character again. And we look and like a year later, it's announced that she's got her own spinoff. I felt like I was in like this crosshair of a moment where it was like, they brought her in, someone was going away, the show was coming up. It was just like, I feel like I got to see everything on the side there.
I'm excited for that show. Yeah. I can't wait for it to come out.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system. We can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library, so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious. Even in a sea of milk, the crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan and Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus.
I'll throw out a couple of other things just for fun, just because I feel like some of them aren't new. They're from last year, but I thought were so great. And again, so kind of slept on. Mm-hmm. The Pedro Almodovar short, Strange Way of Life, that is the Ethan Hawke, Pedro Pascal movie that he did. It's like an 18-minute little Western. Yeah. Fantastic. There's been a bunch of like fantastic shorts, like all the Wes Anderson. I feel like Asteroid City got a lot of press and a lot of notice because it was terrific. Yeah. But Wes Anderson also released an entire movie of Roald Dahl shorts. They're on Netflix. Then they're all together, but you can watch them individually, and they're terrific.
Oh, I gotta check this out.
Absolutely worthwhile. Both of those I think are great. Strange Way of Life, especially, I thought was just absolutely fantastic. There's a great documentary out about the Elephant Six recording company bands. So it's like Neutral Milk Hotel, Olivia Tremor Control, Circulatory System, Apples in Stereo, all that group of like Athens, Georgia, Denver related bands that put out so much great music in my post-college years, essentially, like starting for me in college and after. You know, and those bands were so incredible. A lot of blending of members and a lot of like sharing of stage with like a number of bands that just are, you know, it's the same eight people. They just shift around and a different one of them is singing now. So it's a different band.
I love that kind of vibes.
They're all characters. Every one of them is a character. And again, we've now entered the stage of, for me, documentaries that are about people my own age. So all the footage looks like it's from when I was in college. You know, they all currently look like I feel like I look now. It is like so, it's such a fucking weird. It was the same thing with like Meet Me in the Bathroom, that book about the New York music scene.
That.
Loved it. Great documentary. But again, I'm like, wait, these are people my age. Fuck. I'm already at the age where we make documentaries about my own past, which is very unsettling. But I loved that documentary. I thought it was great.
And by the way, that's available on Apple and it's available on Amazon.
Oh, great.
And you can get that. Yeah. And you can also get on this website, Kino. I love it. Yeah. No, I feel that way too. When you watch like a documentary about something that you lived through and you're like, oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sure. All right.
It's sketchy as all hell. I'm like, I don't like this.
No, I know. I feel it. I mean, it's a very bizarre feeling.
Can we take a couple of minutes? Because you asked me a while ago about like finding new music and getting turned on to new music and this kind of stuff. And I want to just take a moment to shout out the death of Pitchfork. Pitchfork, the website Pitchfork, which, you know, has been an absolute part of my daily routine since it began publishing a website that I read. One of very few websites in the late 90s that when I worked at JP Morgan, I would read Pitchfork every day and Ain't It Cool News and figure out what I knew about stuff, you know. Pitchfork continues to review 4 new albums a day. It's gone through the ups and downs. If you want to hear...
I thought they just went through a big part. Like, isn't it shut down now, or there's something major that's happened? Okay,
no, no. That's what I'm saying. This is the death of Pitchfork. This is okay. The Pitchfork is now being subsumed into GQ. Because they're all part of the same parent company. They've laid everybody off at Pitchfork, and there's just going to be some reviews in GQ. It's like a real loss. And especially a loss for exactly what you were talking about back in the day, which was, how do I get turned on to new stuff? How do I find new music? And we're watching like the death of these kind of curation engines, and we're just living inside of the algorithm, an algorithmic kind of curation, which is, you know, not the best. If you want to read hear very smart people talk about the death of Pitchfork or the recent cuts in Bandcamp staff, Bob Lefsetz and Ezra Klein have both put out kind of very beautiful kind of articles or think pieces about the death of Pitchfork. But it's a real bummer. It's a real bummer because I find that it's harder and harder to find new stuff because like all the entertainment we talk about, there's just too much of it. And so here's a couple of places that I go that I feel like people can go to find stuff. So
I'm excited.
There's a bunch of podcasts that I feel like are good music podcasts. The NPR show All Songs Considered, I think does a weekly episode that is new albums that have come out this week. They're pretty varied and the hosts are pretty good about highlighting all sorts of music. So you get a good swath of stuff.
Right.
I especially love when Lars Gotrich is on, who is absolutely, I find he has a similar taste as I do. His episodes are called Viking's Choice. Lots of heavy metal, experimental, international. It's great. Great stuff. New York Times Popcast can sometimes be infuriating conversations, but always super interesting. Very cool. Very smart people talking about music. There's an episode of the podcast Search Engine that is all about how do you find new music, and it's with the journalist Khalifa Sena, who's fantastic. There's a website called Dusted. I think it might be Dusted Magazine, or maybe it's just called Dusted. They do new music reviews that are terrific. There's a British website called Quietus. They put out and review great music and great stuff. These are just places that I go and find stuff.
No, but this Bandcamp, is good.
Bandcamp regularly does features that are best jazz on Bandcamp or best, you know, essential releases of the week. If you're just looking for a way to be turned on to new stuff, these are good places to start. You know, if you are losing something like a Pitchfork or something like that in your life. Anyway, there's a bunch of ways to come at this.
And I think that sometimes you get, like, not only do you get lost, like, I find myself going back. I'm on Spotify, I'm on Apple Music, I have all my subscriptions running. But it's like, while I have everything at my hands, I don't ever just let it, like, I mean, the algorithm can sometimes pick it for me, and sometimes it'll be good, but I'm also like, I don't trust even the algorithm. I just kind of go back to what I know.
Yeah, and it's like TV is, in the sense that, like, you have to decide what you want to listen to, seek it out and listen to it. And I like discovery. I like the sense of surprise and discovery that used to come along with listening to the radio or, you know, or being turned on to new stuff by people whose taste I like, similar to the ways in which I'm talking about it here. Another shout out I'll give is to, I did an episode of the YouTube series that Amoeba Record Store runs called What's in My Bag. Yeah. I did one years ago, but I still listen to that, or I still watch those. They put out a new one every week. And every band or comedian or actor that goes on there and picks stuff that they like that to turn people on to music they like, I've found so much stuff just in those recommendations. I think it's fantastic. So, you know, and I'm just, here's a couple of artists that I want to shout out. Connie Lovett, beautiful singer-songwriter, New York-based, has an incredible album called Coconut Mirror. Joni Mitchell's Court and Spark turns 50 this year. There have been a bunch of great, like, think pieces, big articles about that record. And Court and Spark, even though Hejira is, like, my all-time favorite Joni record, Court and Spark is what is how I got turned on to Joni. The song Help Me played on the radio. I heard it and was obsessed with it and bought the cassette the next opportunity I could. So, like, that's a great one. And then I've been singularly obsessed with one song for about 7 months in which I almost exclusively listen to this one song. The album is from two. This is where it gets a little confusing. It's two, I believe, Pittsburgh bands that shared a lead singer. And so the album is both of their records combined into one thing. Okay. And the bands are The Short Dark Strangers and The Shady Motherfuckers. And the song is We're Not Animals. And I cannot stop listening to this song. I don't know what it is. It has a hold on me in a way that I find, like, I have listened to it hundreds of times. Like, if it was available on Spotify, which it's not, it would unquestionably have been my Spotify Wrapped number one song of the year.
Wow.
Just for number of plays. And the fact that it is not, that I can't get it on Spotify makes me nuts. Anyway, here is a snippet of the song. It's great. I love this song.
And speaking of songs, I want to say two things. I just recently watched the Slater-Kinney What's in My Bag, which is really great.
Terrific.
They have a new album out, which I love. And I would say that the other thing about songs is we are still accepting submissions. We kind of put away our American Idol contest. We're kind of come back to it. Just been the holidays and stuff. We'll come back to it and we'll get into it. So you can still send us songs and we'll still pick a winner. We're having fun with it. This is a long reality show that we're running here. So don't get too bent out of shape. And I will tell you that I had to explain what a bastard was the other day because when my son got in the car, ODB was playing.
Ugh.
And I love ODB. I have a sideshow statue of ODB coming out.
Really?
It's the best. I'm so fucking psyched about this.
Oh, that's great.
It's like ODB coming out of the Brooklyn subway. And as he's like coming out, like he's like ripping apart the subway. It's just like, it's such a cool statue. It's just like, I have three fucked up sideshow statues. One is of ODB. The other is Jake Gyllenhaal's in Spider-Man, where they have the Jake Gyllenhaal Spider-Man. When Mysterio like creates a crazy fucked up image of Tony Stark rising from the dead, but all fucked up.
Yeah.
So I have that one, and now I also really found this one that I wanted so bad. And maybe it doesn't. I was so excited about it when I saw it, but it's the Doctor Strange from the Sam Raimi, The Multiverse of Madness, where he goes insane and
The
Dark Strange. Those are my three.
Ooh, that's great.
Statues. I love each one of them because they're just like, I don't know. They're very different.
Ooh, I love that. That's rad.
All right. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to shout out all that music and talk about music and ask, I feel like I've had some success asking our audience to help me find things or to help solve a problem or something. I'm looking for all of Night Music, the Hal Wilner, Lorne Michaels music show that aired Sunday nights at 11:30. It was like SNL, but it was Hal Wilner was the Saturday Night Live music director, and he did they did a show for a number of years on Sunday nights that was just music. So it was in the beginning, I think Jules Holland hosted it, David Sanborn hosted it. The house band was incredible, Omar Hakim on drums, phenomenal. And they would have, the guests would be like, in one episode, it would be Sonic Youth, and then also the Sun Ra Orchestra, and then also like a blues guitarist. You know, they would have, they would cast it so, like the episodes were fantastic. And I've found a number of individual performances on YouTube, but I'm looking for the whole thing. I want to be able to watch all of Night Music. Can anybody help me?
I think they will be able to, because when I last talked on the show I do with Hubel, that our live stream, I asked if someone could get me all of Kid Nation season one, and I got it.
Nice.
And I love it. Yeah.
Ooh, I love that.
All right. Well, Jason, it's been a blast talking to you. We will talk again. We'll see you next time. Such a pleasure to chat with him. And finally, it's time to announce our next movie. Next week, we will be going from a frisbee shot in the balls to erotic masquerade balls. And more. That's right. Next episode, we are returning to the world of Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele for part two of the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. That's right. 2017's 50 Shades Darker. Oh, you want a breakdown of the plot? I'll give it to you. As Christian and Anna begin to rekindle their relationship, shadowy figures from Christian's past start to reappear, determined to destroy their hopes for a future together. And you know what? Honestly, that sounds more exciting than anything that fucking happens in that movie. Rotten Tomatoes gives this film a 11% score on the tomato meter, and my wonderful unspooled co-host Amy Nicholson wrote for MTV, "The movies aren't so bad they're good. They're brilliantly bad. They're genius." With director James Foley dutifully presenting every inane plot point while gifting us excuses to laugh. Listen to the trailer here for 50 Shades Darker.
He's changing. Are you happy? I've never been happier. Gotta be quicker than that, Cray. What is happening to me? You know that girl, Christian?
I think you're the first woman who's tried to save him.
If something were to happen to you, I could never forgive myself. Until you come
back home. Rated R.
You can stream 50 Shades Darker for free on Max. I think you can even get the unrated version on Max, too. And on Peacock, you can rent it at all the usual places. And also use your local public library, people. We love that. We are almost at the end of the episode. But before we go, check out this bonus scene from our beautiful disaster show where you get a little peek behind the curtain on how we design the T-shirts for the episode. And we did this with the audience, and this is a fun one. Anyway, if you want to buy the T-shirt for Beautiful Disaster, you can get it at tpublic.com/hdtgm. Take a listen.
I loved the scene where she's Instagram stalking him in class, and he's right behind her and is like, "Hey, I see you Instagram stalking me." She's like, "I'm not." Then he's like, "Okay, cool, whatever. I'll pick you up at 8 and then leaves because he's not in the class. He should have been in the class with her.
Anyone can audit. All right. Any other T-shirt ideas? Oh, other T-shirt ideas while we...
Can we get house lights for a second just so we can see some of these and pick some? Raise your hand if you think you've got a good one and make sure it's not dog shit. Oh, when did I eat noodles? With a picture of someone with noodles on their face, fresh from the barf. Okay, great. What do you got?
All right, how about this?
That's kind of good.
Sacramento Frisbee Club is great. How about just a picture of jeans and meow coming out of where the fly is?
What if it's...
Paul,
what if it's,
no, you would not wear that. What
if it's a picture... What if it's abs and then like a waistband of underwear and meow coming out of it? Right?
Never
so you can wear
this.
A shirt with abs.
Oh, it's tricky.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, yeah, up there, up in the center balcony. Yes, you feel like you got one.
Beautiful upper decker. I don't know that that makes much sense. Right here. Pigeon says what? Okay, I like pigeon. I don't love says what. Go ahead.
You put ice on it.
So far, Sacramento Frisbee Club
feels... We're getting somewhere. What? I feel like we've said some other things even today.
Yeah.
Not a T-shirt.
Well, then don't say it. I have an update. If it's not a t-shirt during the t-shirt section, don't raise your fucking hands. Get out of here. Get him out of here. Security, escort this man out
I'm
of
listening.
Here. You
I'm
don't
listening.
Understand the rules, sir.
What's up, Pidge?
What's up, Pidge? That's not bad.
These are good, but I feel like we're... Oh, yes, yes, you would be politely raising your hand.
He wants the
diarrhea.
Escort him out, too. Actually, yes. You escort him out. Both of you.
What do you got?
Make your own diarrhea jizz shirt, you fucking monster. Put it on a pizza.
What do you got? I want to be around you.
What is it?
I want to be around you.
Well, that's too weird.
Dude, yeah, you.
Is that a t-shirt suggestion or an actual personal desire?
How about Paul's my cousin? Yes.
Child Poker League.
Is there something to Lucky 13? Is there something to
Travis Swift.
Mad Dog, his brothers.
We're having a hard time with this shirt.
Remember when they were at family dinner? By the way,
Sacramento Frisbee Club feels solid to me.
Yes, it
or
does.
Or there is also Tucker Dormitory. Like, there could be something...
Tucker Dormitory is great.
But there's got to be something more... Is it just a visual of the building? I don't
just
think
a simple building since Tucker Dormitory, Bulgaria.
Okay, now I like it. Would you buy it? Would you buy it?
Tucker Dormitory,
will you commit
Bulgaria.
To buying it right now? No,
I like it. I like that. That's simple and nice. Tucker Dormitory... And we can have a girl out front playing Frisbee.
I love it.
All right, that is it for the show. Please remember to rate and review us. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. Visit us on social media at HDTGM. And a big thank you to our producers, Scott, Sonny, Molly Reynolds, our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, and our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia. We'll see you next week for 50 Shades Darker.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.